Yo,
Blog
what's up,
Talk
there, boss?
Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk, episode 66. Review show for UFC 229. Crazy weekend. Great fights. Controversial ending. Well, not controversial ending, but, you know, stuff that happened after the fight. I mean, everybody know about Khabib jumping the cage, going after Conor guys, and Conor getting a sucker punch. But a lot of people didn't see Conor sucker punching Khabib's brother, you know, at the end of the fight, too. You know, videos, a lot of videos came out with a lot of different angles. But, you know, the UFC, basically, I think they need to start reeling this stuff in because it's good publicity, but at the same time, it's bad publicity. And it makes the fighters look bad to me. You know, waiting on my man Keen to jump on, you know, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about a few other things. It was an action-packed weekend. Once again, UFC, they put on a good show, had good fights, and, you know, it was, to me, I gave it about 7 out of 10. Only reason I gave it a 7 out of 10 is because of the stuff that happened after the fight. But I kind of sort of felt Khabib would beat Conor because of his style. And we'll see what's next for Khabib. We'll see what's next for Conor. Me and my man Keys, once he jumps on, we'll talk about that because that is the talk of the town right now. It's what's next for all winners, really. When you have a big event like that and a lot of good performances, a lot of social performance, a lot of guys that we didn't know that had good performances, it leads to you to wonder what's next. And that's just human nature. What's next? I think I want to start with I want to dedicate the show. Normally, when we do a show, I normally send a dedication out or, you know, I dedicate the show to somebody or a group of people. Today, I want to dedicate the show to the Me Too movement. In this day and age, you know, it's hard for victims to come forward and to tell their stories because they feel embarrassed or ashamed of what has happened to them. And if something bad has happened to you and it was not your fault, or even if it was your fault, if it was something that bad that happened to you against your own free will, come forward, tell your story. Because you never know, your story might help the next person. And for this has nothing to do with Kavanaugh being appointed to the Supreme Court, because I'm black. Clarence Thomas is black, and the same thing happened to him, and he got appointed. So, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that be strong within your own self. Tell your story. You never know when your story might help the next person. On this show, I always like to tell people that, you know, a lot of people don't know my background. And, you know, that's just something I choose to keep to myself. On this show, I told people I'm an Air Force vet. I did 22 years. You know, I worked in accounting, finance, and all that good stuff. But, you know, I'm proud of that. But at the same time, is a lot of victims you hold that when you hold it in so long, it doesn't allow you to move forward. So let it out. Tell your story. Inspire other women or inspire other men to tell their story. Women aren't the only people that get sexually harassed or, you know, sexually assaulted. Men do too. I know a lot of men won't come forward because they feel embarrassed, but at the same time, you might help the next person. So I'm shouting I'm shouting out the Me Too movement tonight. And, you know, tell your story, help the next person, come forward, get it off your chest. It might help you go, might help you get through the next day a little easier. So back to the weekend. It was a great weekend. For my predictions, I had picked Khabib, Ferguson, Derek Lewis, Felice Herrick, and I picked OSP. So I finished 3-2. I think my man Keys, he finished 2-3. I want to say he picked Connor. He picked Connor, Waterson, Derek Lewis, OSP, and he picked hey, who's the five fighters now? And he picked Pettis. I don't know why he picked Pettis when me and him are ultimate Tony Ferguson fans, but maybe he had some inside scoop or something, or he had a gut feeling. But Pettis did put up a brave performance, and it was a hell of a fight, and I think it would have led to a hell of an ending if he didn't break his hand. But one thing about Pettis is I think his last couple fights, you know, he win, he lose, he win, he lose. And I think his last two fights, he's been injured in the fight. Against Dustin Poirier, he broke a rib. And then against Tony Ferguson, he broke his hand. A lot of people are just at arms because they feel that, you know, Conor did what he did and Khabib did what he did and Conor really wasn't punished. And I think the UFC and the Nevada Athletic Commission, you know what? Khabib messed up one time. He's human. Let it go. Find him and move on. Don't strip him of his belt. I don't think it warrants that drastic of a move because you only stripped Conor because of inactivity. You didn't strip him because of his actions. You stripped him because of inactivity. I mean, that being said, you haven't stripped Daniel Cormier for his light heavyweight belt, and he's been inactive for a long time. His last fight was against Ozdemir, but he's still the light heavyweight champion. So, but, you know, it all depends on what I keep saying is if the UFC likes you. I know after the fight, a lot of my friends, you know, that I was watching the fight with, you know, we sat down, we talked, and a lot of them said Conor should get an immediate rematch. Why should Conor get an immediate rematch? He never defended the belt when he won it. He got stripped of the belt because of inactivity, because, you know, he decided he wanted to fight Floyd Mayweather in boxing, and, you know, he did that. You know, cool, whatever. But why does he deserve an immediate rematch? He tapped out. A lot of people knew stylistically that Khabib was a bad matchup for him. And I think giving him an immediate rematch is a slap in the face to my man Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson won the interim belt. He got hurt. They stripped him of the belt because he got hurt. And they had Khabib fight the number 12 guy and gave him the belt. So the only way you can make that right is by having Khabib fight Tony Ferguson. I know the UFC has tried to make this fight two, three times, and it fell through due to, you know, Khabib pulled out twice, and then my man Tony suffered a gruesome knee injury. So I don't think that Khabib will pull out now because he's a champ and he's trying to prove that he's not a paper champ. So go ahead and make the Ferguson versus Khabib fight. And if we had to pick it today, I'd be all in on Tony Ferguson beating Khabib, because Tony Ferguson is a machine, and him being taken down, it would not faze him at all. He can fight on his back. He can fight on his feet. He's a machine. And I don't think Khabib is ready for that. But like I said on Twitter the other day, I think Khabib will probably call out the winner of the Nate Diaz-Dustin Poirier fight instead of trying to fight Tony Ferguson. He will try to move the Tony Ferguson fight out as much as possible. And if I was Tony Ferguson, I wouldn't take another fight unless it was for the belt. So, but Khabib, he's hoping Poirier wins because I don't think Poirier has that good of a ground game as Nate. So he would rather fight Poirier because Poirier definitely plays into his hands as far as him being a dominant grappler and not a good stand-up guy, even though he did in the Conor fight try to exchange blows with Conor. But you could see once Conor started sticking him, he went right back to the takedown. So, you know, thoughts, man. You know, reviewing UFC 229. I think my man Keys is on. You know, we'll see what happens down the road. UFC 229 was for everybody that watched it. It was a good card. Had some good fights. Had a wild ending, and it's going to be one of the. It's going to be a card that goes down in history for all the wrong reasons. It's not going to be like UFC MSG where all the champions lost and three belts was on the line. It's not going to go down because it was a bang bang shoot 'em out. It's going to go down because of what happened at the end of the fight. So. Yo, what's up, Keys?
Man, here.
Yeah, man, what's good?
Yeah, my bad, everybody. There was a lot of traffic on 93, but we here now, so let's get it rolling.
Yeah, bro, I was just telling some people, you know, how I felt about UFC 229. I was saying that it'll probably go down in history is for all the wrong reasons. So, so talk about it, man. What's up with you? What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, so, all right, I'm just going to put a disclaimer right at the beginning. Usually we don't really use swear words or cuss words or whatever on this show, but I'm probably about to. It's about to get rowdy. I actually have a bottle of Proper 12 Irish whiskey in my hand right now. I'm gonna rip a shot of this man-made Irish whiskey, and in the next 5 minutes, to get me a little bit more in the zone even more. I've taken a couple shots of it already today. Man, this whiskey tastes so good. It is very tasty. It's a unique taste. It goes down very smooth. And a few people that I've gave out some taste tests. I was actually just with a group of people, and I gave out, you know, probably four or five shots of it, you know, to a group of friends for all them to try it. Everybody that I've given a shot, a taste of it to has liked it. And a few people that are avid drinkers of Jameson have told me that they like Proper 12 more than Jameson. So that's the conclusion for that. The whiskey is delicious, and if you don't like it, it's probably because you can't handle whiskey anyways. So, moving on. As I rip a shot of this Proper 12 man-made Irish whiskey, I just want it to be known that the reason why the event won't go down in history is because people can't handle words, okay? Khabib is soft. That whole team is soft. He didn't need to jump over the cage. The guy who jump over the cage and punch Connor in the back of the head or whatever that was, he's a pussy. All them guys are pussies. That's how I feel about it. And if I see, you know, I'm in a state right now where I feel like if I were to see, you know, one of those Afro guys out here in my neck of the woods in Boston, I'd probably steal on him myself. That's how I feel about it. So somebody where I was just... We're just talking a little bit about this, and, you know, I kept my mouth shut because I don't want to – my temper gets pretty bad sometimes, especially with when people are talking about my guy like that, and you're talking about my client. Put some respect on his name. That's how I feel about it. Put some respect on his name. Khabib has the most boring style of all time still, and the people that I was watching the fight with were actually complaining of how boring it was, that the fact this guy just humping people on the ground every fight. basically what I'm trying to say here is it was a good win. You done good, kid. But this whiskey done better than you did. This whiskey tastes better than your performance. This whiskey is more of a success than Khabib's win at UFC 229. So with that being said, I'm going to take a shot back right now. And Lee, you can jump in and take it over, you know, while I give this a taste right now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put it to you like this. Leading up to the fight, like I told you on Friday, I said I was amazed at how Khabib stayed so calm and collective during, you know, the media stuff and all that, the way Conor was going at him, you know, as far as personally, you know, and I felt, you know, especially when Conor accused his dad of being a terrorist, I thought that was kind of over the line. And I was like, damn, I can't believe Khabib has really kept it together like this. So I guess after the fight, you know, things, you know, he let it out. So, but at the same time, you're a champion, man. You got to represent yourself and the sport in a better fashion than that. Conor is known for getting under people's skin. Khabib should have known that. But like I told you Friday, I knew I had just had a feeling Khabib would beat him because, first of all, ring rust is a real thing. People can say what they want, but not being in the octagon for over 2 years, I would say, that does play a part in his performance. And the second part was that was a bad fight for him. For him to come back and fight a guy that's a grappler when he's basically a stand-up dude, I think the UFC did him a disservice. I mean, I know Conor wants the big-dollar fights, but I would have rather seen Conor come back and maybe fought a Dustin Poirier, you know, a Kevin Lee, you know, somebody in the top five at least, but not somebody who stylistically doesn't match, that he doesn't match up well against. Now, to the proper 12, the bar I was at on Saturday, Twin Peaks, out here in Colorado, you know, it was a great environment out there. There was a lot of people up in there. You know, they was giving shots for $2.99. So, you know, we decided to have a shot of it. I thought the taste was unique. It did kind of have like a little bite at the end. But as far as it being better than Jameson, I wouldn't go that far. But I think Conor did, his whiskey is, oh, I would buy it. I'll put it on my bar. But buying it before I bought Jameson, nah, I don't know about that. But at the same time, I like his price range for his whiskey because normally Jameson is very, very expensive. It's kind of high for my taste. But the price range that he used, I really respect the business side because basically he's going after a market that can't afford Jameson and they don't want to buy cheap shit. He's targeting the middle group. Another thing about UFC 229 is I have to say I was kind of disappointed in a lot of the fighters' performances. It seemed like everybody was gassed after the first or second round. And it's like, what the hell is going on? And I was very, very upset about that. You train for 8 weeks. You know you got a fight coming up. What's going on? So I know my man Keys is probably finished taking his shot of proper 12, and I'm going to let him jump back in here and speak about the fighters and looking and being gassed.
Man, I love this whiskey. That's all I had to say. I love it, you know. And, I toast another shot because I had to pour one out extra today because for Lee. I had to pour out an extra one for Lee because I wanted to pour one out for you right now. And I also wanted to pour one out for Khabib right now. I wanted to pull one out for Khabib right now because that's what you – you know what, buddy? Good win. Take a shot of the whiskey. Khabib ruined that event. And I know what Connor means with the Instagram post they were talking about when he said we lost the fight but we won the battle. I 100% know what he's talking about, and I couldn't agree more. Khabib now has like pretty much the most negative spotlight on his name that it could possibly be now, and it actually makes because Connor was sitting like he just lost the fight, and he actually didn't, kind of like how Cody Garbrandt kind of got in TJ Dillashaw's face after he got knocked out, kind of like that. Like McGregor didn't react like that. He was sitting on the canvas, and he knew, he was kind of just still in the moment, probably catching his breath, because we could see that he was exhausted, much more exhausted than Khabib was, and he was just still in that moment, and he didn't even take part in all that buffoonery that went on, and
Keys.
No. Hold on. Let me have my piece here. I've been waiting for this.
Go ahead.
For 2 days. I haven't even said anything to anybody. People have been talking reckless, around me and to me about my guy, and I don't appreciate it. So let me talk my shit real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm sick and tired of it. And this is what I'm going to say, is that I heard that they – I don't know if he's gotten it by now, but I did hear the last that I heard was Dana White said that the Nevada State Athletic Commission was – holding Khabib's purse for the fight because of what he did. And that just puts a huge smile on my face. I'm cheesing, smiling right now. I couldn't be more happy. I try to hold back in this moment. Maybe I should have poured up another shot so I could have really gotten hype. But the things I want to say, I try to just, one of my friends tried to tell me the other night, we were watching the fight, and, Connor was landing some strikes from the bottom, and one of my friends tried to say, I was like, there it is right there. Look, he's landing strikes from the bottom or whatever. One of my friends tried to butt in and say, oh, but that's nothing, though. He was like, he ain't getting nothing, though. I flipped out. I was like, you ain't landing nothing. Shut your mouth. That's what I said. And he looked like he was utterly shocked when I reacted like that. You should know that I would react like that. How dare you? How dare you? Shut your mouth. That's what I had to say. Put some respect on it. I can't stand it. Don't fucking, I can't watch fights with people like this. Either you're in or you're out. Now, don't speak like this around me. Okay? Hey, fuck Russia. That's how I feel about it. Fuck Khabib. I take another shot to toast up. So fuck all those. Fuck the Afro people. Fuck everybody. That's how I feel about it. Because you know what? This is the way I see it. At the end of the day, Connor lost the fight. I understand. But it doesn't mean that I'm no longer a fan of him because he lose the fight. See, all you sports fans who think you know about shit are the same people who jump off the bandwagon when your favorite team loses. So don't fucking tell me about his strikes ain't landing nothing. Because you motherfuckers are the same people who do the same petty stuff every time your team loses. You always do it. They lose, and now you're not a fan of them anymore. Or LeBron don't win the NBA Finals, all his appearances, and you want to talk down on LeBron, but he still made it. So that's the type of bullshit that I'm talking about. And I'm not one of those people. I still see greatness. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to root for my guy. If he can lose 5 fights in a row, I'm still going to root for him in the 6th fight. I'm not like all you people out there. Your guy loses 1 fight, and now you're not a fan of him anymore. Fuck out of here with all that noise. Fuck Khabib. Fuck Russia. To me, he's 26-1 because he still lost the battle at life, and that's how I feel about that. I could have gone in way more. I was hyped for this. I couldn't wait, but, I don't want to – I was already late to the show. And I want to let I have respect for Lee. I want to let him, my man, I want to let him get in there too. And thank you for letting me get my feelings off. It could have been a lot more, but trust me, I'm holding back right now.
Actually, Keith, I think you're going overboard tonight. But at the same time, I get it. But I'm going to put it to you like this. As we do this show, we have to be objective about, UFC fight, the outcomes, whatever. when me and you talked Friday and we did our predictions, I tried to tell you that this was a bad matchup for him. And it was a bad matchup for Connor. And it was a bad matchup for Connor because Connor isn't a great wrestler. I mean, he did come out and he showed some tremendous takedown defense, you know, in the first round, you know. And then, you know, he tried it again in the second round, but Khabib took him down, you know, body humped him for the first two rounds. And that does take a toll on you. But I just feel that the UFC did Conor an injustice by putting him in there against this guy as his first fight back. I mean, you can't put him in there against this guy as his first fight back. You should at least have him fight, you know, somebody else in the top five first. You know, not to say as a warm-up fight, but basically as a warm-up fight. And now it's like, now, we as fans, I already have a feeling of what's going to happen. So, Nate Diaz and Dustin Poirier is going to fight at the next pay-per-view. So, what they're going to do, the UFC, is they're going to take the winner of the – they hoping Poirier wins. They want Poirier versus Khabib because it is a better matchup for Khabib to go against Poirier because Poirier – is basically a stand-up fighter. They don't want him to fight Nate because Nate can fight off of his back. Nate is a jiu-jitsu guy, and they don't want that. And basically what they're trying to do is they want Poirier to win so they can make the Conor versus Nate fight, the trilogy fight, because right now Conor not being a champ, they want to keep him relevant, and the way to keep him relevant is have him fight Nate again. And then probably if he beat Nate, had him fight, I would say the loser of the Khabib-Poirier fight, and then had him go back for the belt. But Conor's career is not over. Conor can actually sit back now and become the new GSP of the UFC. He can actually now start going out for big money fights. I wouldn't put it past him to go home and say, you know what, I want to fight Tyron Woodley. I mean, I'm quite sure he walks around at about 200 pounds. So I think Conor might be the next GSP of the UFC and just fight big money fights. I mean, nothing says he has to be a champion to be relevant. You know, that's my opinion on that. And I love the way Conor showed great sportsmanship at the end of the fight, even though he did go after Khabib's brother at the end of the fight that certain videos did have. But, hey, you know, I'm not mad at him. You know, Khabib went after his guy, and at the same time, Conor went after Khabib's guy. But the UFC needs to start finding these guys, man. They need to start coming down for the disrespect that the fighters are having and the extracurricular shit that is uncalled for. Let's have a fan had got hurt when he jumped into the crowd. Let's just say a fan got hurt. A John Doe that was just sitting ringside, you know, he used all his life savings or saved up his last couple of paychecks to get that seat, and he goes there and he gets kicked in the face because Khabib jumped over the cage, and the UFC does nothing. They have to do something, man. I'm not saying strip him of his belt. I'm saying you do have to find him, and Khabib's argument is probably where you then find Conor for what he did to the bus.
Man, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. They're so uninformed about everything that's going on. I'm glad Dana White actually defended that statement when one of the reporters tried to say that, being like, oh, Conor didn't face any punishment. Bruh, why you think that's a huge reason why he didn't even move. Until he got punched in the back of the head, he didn't even move. Of course you're going to react to being hit or, you know, 10 guys storming the ring and you know they're coming after you. But before any of that ever happened, I mean, the guy's still in ongoing civil cases and upcoming filed a lawsuit for, bloody nose or whatever. Yeah, whatever his name is, just filed the lawsuit. So he has even more things that are, coming towards him from the previous incident. So you got to figure why that's got to be a big reason why, he didn't try to get involved with that, at first. And, probably because, he's still in the moment. I mean, he just lost the fight. He got dominated a good portion of it. And, that hurt.
He showed outstanding professionalism in my book. His professionalism after the fight was second to none. Because that guy, he sat there, he collected his thoughts. He lost the fight. He tapped out again. And, he sat there, gathered his thoughts, and he was just to himself. He didn't bother nobody. Now, all of a sudden, people start storming the ring. And then, the stuff happened. I thought Conor would have probably been more the agitator after he tapped out, but he surprised me, and I respect him for that, man. He earned my respect for that. And then a side note to this is the guy that I really can't stand, Floyd Mayweather, he going to decide to post on Instagram something about Conor McGregor calling Conor McTap. You tapped out again, bitch. And it's like, for real, dog, he came to your sport to fight you. Won't you come down to UFC and fight him under his rules? And let's see who taps then or who says no mas. I was so pissed when I saw that, man. So, hey, big ups to Conor and his professionalism. I still think he should have been fined for his acts throwing the dolly into the bus. Big ups to Khabib for winning a good for dominating Conor, but two thumbs down for your actions after the fight. I can't respect that. You're a champion. You should carry yourself as one, and I just think champions should be above reproach. And at that time, he wasn't.
Yeah, Conor, is being dealt with, is being dealt with by the law and by New York State and, God knows what else. And I imagine has paid millions of dollars out in fines, So I understand. And I get what you said. I agreed with it before when you said that, he should be fined by the UFC, but the reason is not because that he hasn't gotten enough punishment. I think the reason is more so just to show fighters that you can't act out like this, under our promotion's name. I think that's the more reason for it, not because he hasn't gotten enough punishment. So anyone else saying, how come, and Khabib say at the press conference after, I don't get why people are talking about me jumping over the cage when you weren't talking about, Conor when he attacked the bus or when he talked about this, that, and the third at the press conference. First of all, this always happens in fights. When has things not gotten personal in press conferences? The last fight Conor had, I bet no one remembers this because you don't pay attention. The last press conference that he had, did Eddie Alvarez not bash Conor about being on welfare? Did that not happen? Are we forgetting things again?
Yeah, that
are
was a
pretending?
Personal dig. That was a personal
that
dig.
Is a personal,
I thought,
no, that is,
yeah.
That is a personal dig. But you see what happens, though? Is that people like to prioritize certain things that they take personal. So when they're saying, oh, he shouldn't have talked about religion, that's personal to somebody who is of that religion and somebody who takes religion. That not everybody in the world is that religious. So for the people that might not be that religious, that's a huge portion of people. And people that are religious, there's different things that people take more seriously. When Eddie Alvarez talked about bash Conor for, taking welfare when he was, piss poor, Conor didn't even respond to it. During that interview, he just put his head down because he didn't have anything to say. That probably, cut a lot deeper. That probably hurt a lot deeper with him, just like the religion thing hurts a lot deeper with Khabib. He just looks so calm when it's being said, but then you can clearly see how much everything bothered him because now he jumps over the cage, after the biggest win of his career. I think he should have embraced the moment and let them possibly be able to put the belt on him. But now that you jump
exactly.
over the cage and you're jumping into the crowd,
exactly.
you ruin the moment to
yep.
yourself. So then now this crybaby, now this crybaby is saying to Dana White, put the belt on me. I don't care what happens. If I need to be arrested, I will. But I want the belt put on me. You moron. You're the reason why they can't put the belt on you. Because if they did, then people are going to be throwing, you know, rotten tomatoes and all their food and beers and bottles and every other this, that, and the third thing into the ring because they don't respect you as a champion at this point. And you did that to yourself. So that's the reason why Khabib won to me. He won, but he still lost because you lost the respect of tons of fans. And your career is very much hurt by this. You have people that are known as trash talkers in the UFC talking down on your team and you. Michael Bisping said, Michael Bisping spoke out on it, and a lot of people said, but Bisping is a trash talker too, so how can he, you know, say that, you know, Khabib is wrong for lashing out when Conor spoke to him that way? But you see, though, it's Chael Sonnen spoke out, and he's a known trash talker. But you see, though, it's a different level. When you put it to that level, it's the way you responded to it. You have to be able to handle it. It's part of the game. The trash talk is part of the game. And what I was saying is that it's just certain things that people say, oh, you don't talk about. Everybody has a certain subject that they feel like you don't talk about to them because it matters more to them. But it's part of the fight game. The same thing, you know, you don't see – there's a whole lot of controversy in the boxing world, too, that people don't talk about. I mean Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury just had two crazy press conferences, you know, the final press conference leading up to the, you know, the biggest heavyweight fight to make right now in boxing, which is coming up in December. And all that is all controversy, all trash talk. You know, the one difference about that, though, is I think them guys are able to keep it about the fight. I didn't watch the full press conferences, so I don't know how personal or not personal that they got. But the good thing about them guys, is, from what I did hear, is that they were the trash talk was about, you know, each other's power and knocking out guys in competition, who they fought, which is good. That I think is where things should stay in the realm of. But just not being able to handle what is said to you, you got it comes with the territory. You got to understand that you got Wiz Khalifa. You know, completely irrelevant in UFC and MMA, completely irrelevant. Wiz Khalifa interview on TMZ earlier, I watched it. He said that the UFC needs to tone down the trash talk. They need to make their fighters, you know, there needs to be boundaries about what you can say. And it just goes, I understand why people are saying that, but at the same time, you got to realize what sport you're talking about here. This is the fight game. The reason why he's irrelevant is because the reason why that he's saying that is because he doesn't watch it all the time. The one time when you're saying that is reacting to, you know, something that probably did go way past where it needed to go. You know, this is one instance where things probably did, you know, things that were said got way out of hand, and, you know, the way people in the crowd reacted, Dylan Danis, like Taunton Khabib, he probably didn't need to do that. The whole thing probably did get way out of proportion, but trash talking in general is part of the fight game, and guys getting sensitive over certain things being said, it shouldn't make them get to this point. Like, Khabib shouldn't have wanted to jump the cage because someone was taunting him. Like, it comes with the territory. You need to not be grow some balls. That's what I have to say. Grow a pair of balls and take it on the chin. You just won the biggest fight of your career. What some guy is saying to you from the crowd should not make you erupt like that. And see how Conor didn't even respond. Khabib walked over to him after the fight was already over and was saying something to him, you know, probably talking trash while he's, you know, sitting there and this guy's, you know, taking in the moment. He just lost. And Conor didn't even look at him. Like, I don't even think he looked at him. He didn't even open his mouth, at least. He barely even acknowledged him. He was, you know, probably catching his breath. Conor doesn't have the best cardio. We know that. But I'm just saying that you got to tone down the trash talk comes from people who don't know what regularly goes on and what is regularly said. This is a part of the fight game. If you watch boxing, that's all in boxing as well. It's all in the UFC as well. This is just one case where, you know, guys take things to the head they shouldn't take to the head. stay about the fight. You know, one thing Khabib did that I liked and that I'll recognize him for right now is that I always talk about mental warfare on this show. And, like, you know, Tony Ferguson is really good at mental warfare. You know, Conor McGregor is usually really good at mental warfare. But one thing that Khabib did well is he took everything that was said to him and he, instead of, you know, giving it back at the press conference, he held it in and it built him up. You know, he built up more energy and more, you know, hatred, let's just say, and it fueled, you know, fueled him. And you could see that it fueled his performance because he looked great in there. You know, his performance was an excellent performance put on by him. Even though I'm not a fan of Khabib's style, and I still won't be a fan of him as a fighter after this. This won't make me a fan of him, but I will have to, you know, and I do have to credit his performance. He put on an excellent performance, and all the trash talk that Conor did to Khabib, I think, just fueled his, you know, physical performance, and it made him dominate even more. Like, maybe he wouldn't have even done that well if some of those things weren't said to him. So what I'm leading back into saying is that you saying that people need to tone something down, that's the reason why he went out there and was shining like that. If nothing was said to him and you have a guy not pressuring him, he's going to look good, but he's not going to look that good. You gotta heighten the competition. You gotta amp somebody up. He amped him to get to that level. You know, a guy can talk trash and get beat up, but look, I made you this good in this moment. You know, we never seen you like this before. That was probably the best performance I've ever seen Khabib. Now, I've seen a handful of his fights. I think that's the best performance anyone's ever seen Khabib. The way he made Conor look like, you know, he made Conor look sloppy. And, you know, relating back to what you said about the ring rust, you know, the ring rust probably plays a big factor in that too, why Conor didn't look so good. But I just think it was a mix of Conor not performing so well and also a mix of Khabib just overperforming so well. So it was, you know, it was an over-under of those two things, you know, probably like a 50-50 of those, probably a 60-40 of those two things. Conor didn't perform well, which I'm still just very disappointed in him in, and I'm still, you know, I'm upset with that performance. I'm very, you know, it doesn't sit well with me that he looked like that. But also is, you know, Khabib just overperformed, and he just, you know, it probably made him, Conor, look worse. Because also Conor underestimated Khabib. You know, he went into the fight the first round, and he had his hands down. Why the fuck did you have your hands down, mate? What are you doing? Like, you're not that much better than him. Like, and you're not even, I mean, Khabib was the better mixed martial artist the whole time. Like, I knew that. I mean, he's more well-rounded. You know, he's not within light years of Conor with striking. Now, and I want to say one thing right now, too. I'm going to make this very clear to everybody, because I watched the tape back and I figured it out. Okay, when everybody seen Khabib land that right hook, when he dropped Conor, and then you seen Khabib rush over thinking he was going to get a TKO finish, everybody got hype about that, being like, wow. I seen so many news, like MMA news coming out and being like, wow, you know, what's it called? The Breakfast Club gave McGregor donkey of the day off the strength of the fact that he got dropped by Khabib. Now, I'm going to explain to you why he got dropped. Khabib actually did a amazing thing to trick Conor into thinking that he was going for the takedown. Now, if you watch back that moment when he dropped Conor, the reason why he faked his head like he was going low. He faked his head like he was going low to make Conor think he was going for the takedown, and he even started the motion with his shoulders. It's almost like he did the move with his head, and he started to do it with his upper torso to make Conor look down. So he was, Conor was trying to protect the legs, you know, to stop the takedown, which he was doing well in the first round. You know, his takedown defense was well in the first round, and then a little bit in the third round, he was starting to get it. But anyways, Khabib faked the takedown to make Conor think he was going low, and then he swung high because Conor wasn't expecting to have to defend his face. So it was perfectly timed, and That's why he dropped Connor. People make it seem like, you know, in the Breakfast Club and all these MMA news coming out, don't get it twisted and make it seem like that Khabib striking was that good. Okay, it was a well-timed shot, and it was an open shot. Anyone can get rocked when you have such an open shot like that. He wasn't even defending anything. So that's what I have to say about that. And
yeah,
props to Khabib, but we all know that it, and this is my last thing, and I'm going to let you go because I just really went on this. But I had to get this stuff off. And I toned down my voice. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I went over the top. You know, people listening and Lee, I'm sorry I went over the top before. And I toned down my voice, and I'm just explaining what's been stuck in my head. I haven't said all this for 2 days. I just sat back and watched the tape and figured it out. And but, yeah, don't get it twisted and make it seem like that if this was just a striking match, that Khabib had the slightest chance of winning. Don't make it seem like that. We all know that's not true. The same way as we all know that Conor had stood no chance, you know, on the ground with Khabib. And that's what was, you know, proven again in that fight. That was what was reiterated to us. We knew he had no chance on the ground. And Conor needs to address that because that's not the first time he's lost, you know, and I mean, that's like the third, probably possibly, I think, fourth time. That I think that's his fourth submission loss. And that's at least his second loss by rear naked choke. I think he lost by rear naked choke to Nate Diaz in the first fight as well. So he Conor needs to work on that specifically. You know, his not just ground game. I feel like takedown defense. He was looking good. Like I said, in the third round, I gave him the third round. Actually, I thought, you know, he was landing shots and he was stopping Khabib's takedowns. That was really good. But that was when he was just focused on the takedowns. Khabib wasn't looking so good in the striking department that round, so he didn't have much to defend in the face. And if he was distracted by, you know, Khabib's shots, you know, to the face, then he would have gotten taken down. But, you know, he was able to just concentrate because Khabib was probably getting into that point of the fight, the later rounds where he knew Conor was tired, he wanted to get him down and go for the finish, you know, but it didn't end up happening for the fourth round because of how well Conor did in the third round. Maybe he would have got stopped in the third round. But, yeah, just don't make it seem like that if it was just a striking match that Khabib had any one of a chance, he would have been exposed as the glass jaw rat that he was spoken of at the press conference, and he probably likely would have gotten stopped in the fight. So don't make it seem like that because you're wrong, and that's where I'll stop right there. Lee, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just think Conor came out with his hands down because he was ready to defend a takedown. I mean, he knew that Khabib wouldn't stand up and fight with him. I mean, Khabib came out in the third round and tried to exchange and all that. You know, it was cute. But as soon as, you know, Conor started sticking him with that jab, he went straight back to the takedown. It's just a lot, man. Once again, you know what, I'm not going to relive Saturday night. I want to move forward. I think the UFC are definitely in a tough spot because I know they don't want to make the Ferguson versus Khabib fight, but that's the only fight you can make right now because, like my man Ferguson said, he never lost a belt. He got hurt. You stripped him of the belt within 4 months when most guys have kept a belt for a year without being stripped. And Tony and Anthony fight was, to me, had a chance to be fight of the night. I really didn't see who won the bonuses. I'm going to have to look that up before our next show. It was fight of the night?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Because that fight had the makings of being, I think in the third round, that would have been a war. Because Pettis, I know you picked him to win, Keys. That guy showed me so much heart because Tony was walking him down. I mean, Tony was putting together combinations. In the first round, I was like, man, Pettis might not make it on the second round. And, you know, I thought Tony would have a little bit of ring rust. But I thought back to what you said. If you go by to his training videos, dude, trains, and then train some more. And I thought he would come out and be a little rusty. you know, he came out in the first couple of minutes. I was like, you know, Pettis would get him with the leg kicks. You know, Pettis was sneaking in some jabs on him. But once he established his rhythm, he was just walking Pettis down. He was just walking him down, walking him down, walking him down. Combination. Punch, elbow, body shot, face jab. I was like, man, this dude here is a beast. And me and you have both taken turns of driving his bandwagon. And I think the UFC probably won't make Khabib versus Ferguson. They probably want to make Khabib versus the winner of the Poirier-Nate fight. And Khabib doesn't want to fight Nate because Nate can fight off his back. So Khabib probably wants Poirier to win because it'll be more of a stylistic matchup for him. You will once again have a striker against a grappler. And I really haven't seen Poirier fight off his back that much. So, you know, man, it's a lot to come down the road. But I want to shout out your boy. And me and you both had kind of, you know, we both had kind of second thoughts about this fight. And but we both picked him to win. Derek Lewis, man, the Black Beast. Man, that performance he put on was, I thought he should have got, I don't know whether or not he got a bonus for it, but if he didn't, he should have. And he should have just got a bonus for the post-fight interview because that guy is $1 million on the mic. He might not be $1 million in the octagon, but he's $1 million on the mic. And I kept telling my friends, I said, all it takes is one punch. I think it was the middle of the second round when he caught Volkov. He hit him, and then Volkov kind of shifted his body, and then Derek punched him in the shoulder. I was like, Volkov felt that power. He going to try to stay away. And when he rocked him in that jaw, I was like, oh, my God, it was over. The whole bar went crazy because everybody thought he was going to lose. But once he hit that guy and put him down, man, the whole bar erupted. And then that post-fight interview, classic. Oh, my God, classic. I really don't have the words to describe it other than classic. But Derek Lewis, if you're listening, bro, you need to work on your cardio. You need to work on other aspects of your game. Because having a right hook and a left jab, or a right jab and a left hook, is only going to take you so far. For you to be the champ at a heavyweight division, you are going to have to work on your game, bro. You're going to have to become a guy that has punching power that can also fight a technical fight. You need to look at Stipe types. You need to get all Stipe fights, start studying him, and incorporate little stuff from his game into your game so you can be a great fighter. Right now, you gas too fast. You rely on one shot. And if you don't get that shot, your fights aren't appealing to fans. So you need to work on your game, bro.
Yeah, nah, he really I think the biggest thing is he needs to work on his cardio. I mean, I know you said that, but, like, that should be the first thing is first, just because, I mean, you can't even do a lot of this stuff unless you can have the gas tank to be able to transition and do these things. Like, you can't even wrestle. Like, you got to have a certain amount, you got to have cardio to be able to wrestle, especially if you're going to be fighting guys that are going to be taking you down over and over and having all that weight on top of you. If you don't have a good cardio, you're going to look like Ngannou. You don't want to look like Ngannou, Derek Lewis, you know, in the Stipe fight, just flailing around, like, you know, getting dominated in a title fight like that. Like, that's what you will look like. If you would have, you need to be able to get back up. Like, if you were to be stuck on the ground, you know, for the remainder of a round, when the next round starts, like, you can't be exhausted from the fact that a guy was on top of you for, you know, 3 minutes, no, 5 minutes. So I think first things first is the cardio, get the gas tank and, you know, at the same time work on some other skills, you know, work on some wrestling and, you know, work on, you know, possibly some jujitsu. And, I mean, the wrestling I think is probably a huge thing. I mean, DC is the champ, but, I mean, not that I could – I wouldn't even want to see DC fight Derek Lewis, but that's not even in my head. I think if Stipe was the champ, he would welcome a stand-up fight with Derek Lewis. That would have been actually a good scrap to see. But then again, with Stipe's he's just such a better mixed martial artist. Derek Lewis, you know, that post-fight interview, I'm just going to jump right off that and say that, because I didn't get to comment on what you said. That post-fight interview was the most funniest thing of the whole event, and that had everybody I was with laughing. And I was laughing. And some people was even in disbelief. They were like, when Joe Rogan interviewed him and he said, he's like, Derek Lewis, you know, why'd you, you know, he's like, you know, you just won the fight. Can I ask, why'd you take your pants off? And he goes,
my balls was hot.
That moment killed me. Just that alone, I was already cracking up. And then everything after was just like just more thrown on top. Like, you know, he said Donald Trump called him before the fight and said that Donald Trump told him that he had to knock this Russian out. And then he said like something about Putin. And then he said America in this hole.
Yeah, man. That damn interview was too classic, man. Dog.
And I like the fact that Derek Lewis is honest with himself. You know, when he said, when they said to him, you know, what do you want to do next? Or who do you want to fight next? And he said, he's like, man, I ain't even thinking about that. Like, I got to sit my ass down and, you know, work on my cardio. I can't be with a gas tank like that. I can't be, you know, exhausted in the first round, you know, like I was tonight. So at least I like that he's honest with himself and he doesn't try to, he doesn't shy away from the issues that he has with his game. He clearly, you know, sees it and he's going to take it head on. So I hope to see, you know, how he improves in, you know, the next year. So like a year's time could be a good times table for a lot of changes in Derek Lewis. I'd like to see what changes he makes and how different he looks in, you know, the, you know, second or third round, or, you know, even third round in a year from now. Even
yeah,
6 months from now.
Because I see what's going to happen is the guy you was talking about last week, Greg Hardy. I think Greg Hardy will probably come in and probably fight, like, a guy outside the top 10. And then he'll probably fight maybe, like, a Mark Hunt in his second fight. And then I could see him fighting maybe Derek Lewis or Francis Ngannou as his third fight. So, but I hope the Black Beast does work on his game because, man, it's good to talk to him after a win because you never know what's going to happen. So, but, you know, man, we talked about a lot tonight. You know, man, I'm going to go ahead and let you wrap it up, man, since, you know, tonight's show was basically a Keys getting it off his chest show.
Yeah, I told you I had ammo ready. It was of different things. Actually, a lot. I'm glad I was able to give more of the ways I looked into the fight, like the more like technical things that I was looking at. I'm glad I was able to transition into that and not the emotional side of it, because at the end of the day, I'm a diehard fan of McGregor. I don't talk about him as much as – I probably don't talk about him as much on this show as I do in real life. I mean, I'm not like a stan, like that's everyday type shit, but, I mean, everyone that I know knows that, like, that's my guy out in Boston. So I don't talk about him as much on this show, but I'm a diehard fan of him. So, you know, he could lose his next 10 fights, and I still think, like – I still look up to him. I still think that he's the best. And it's about his story, not about, you know, all these negative things that, like, people characterize him by. Like, I don't admire him for that shit. Like, I never once condoned the bus attack. Like, I never said that was, like, okay. I actually spoke against that, if I remember correctly. I've never said that was, you know, cool. I never expected that. Like, I was actually shocked when Lee told me that. He actually broke that news to me. I didn't even know about that, and I thought it was stupid. I thought that it was over the top. I don't condone that type of shit. And, you know, as for the trash talking, I mean, yeah, he might have went too far, but I think, you know, trash talking at the heart, you know, is at the heart of the fight game, and that's just he's able to sell a fight. I mean, it goes a little too far, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to shoot him down for trash talking. I mean, it's a competitive sport. You know, I like that kind of thing. I want guys to be the best and talk like people, like, even if they know they can't win a fight, talk to somebody like, you know, like you're not scared of them. You know, that's what, you know, my family has taught me, is like, you know, you could be the toughest guy in the room. Like, you know, talk to him like you don't care who he is. You know what I mean? Like, even if you're scared to death, don't show somebody that you're scared. And that's what I was brought up with. And that's what I see. And that's a big thing I see in Conor McGregor, is that's what he does. And, you know, I'm sure he, you know, was full aware of you know, guy's skill and Khabib's skill level. He knew what, you know, level opponent he was going against, but he talks to him like he's nothing. You know, he talks to somebody like, never show somebody, you know, your cards, never show somebody you're scared. And then that's a big thing I admire about him, is his confidence and he's fearless individual. And that's, you know, things that I strive to be like. You know, I want to see him versus a lot of these striking guys, you know, going forward. I know he touched on that a few minutes, you know, before. I wasn't, maybe I wasn't in here, or that was, you know, I might have been taking a break or something, but I did hear you mention about, you know, fighting Poirier and stuff like that. You know, that's actually one of the fights I want to see. Win or lose, you know, if they don't have a fight for Poirier after, I'm sure he's going to get a title shot if he beats Nate Diaz in New York. But if he doesn't get a title shot, or if, you know, Nate Diaz wins and they don't know what to do, I'd like to see a rematch with McGregor and Poirier at 155, because I feel like that changes the dynamic of the fight. You know, Poirier was also a lot earlier in his career, so also was McGregor. So I think seeing them at a different weight class, you know, both at, you know, very different points now, and they're both more skilled, a lot more. I mean, Poirier is a lot more skilled. So, you know, he might even beat McGregor. Like, it's one of those things. I just want to see them test each other again. And then another one I really want to see, and I think this should definitely happen within the next year, and honestly, I wouldn't even be mad if this was McGregor's next fight, is I want to see him fight Justin Gaethje. Definitely want to see McGregor fight Justin Gaethje. That's probably the top one for him that I want to see, because that one is a perfect fight for him. You know, they fight almost the same exact way. Like, Gaethje doesn't want to go to the ground. He doesn't do any of that stuff. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's like an all-American wrestler, and he has the skills to do it, but he just doesn't use that in his game for some reason. But, I mean, I still think that's the perfect fight for McGregor at this point. And those are probably the top two fights I'd want to see for McGregor in the next year. I mean, I couldn't see him getting out two more fights in the next year anyway, so that's two right off the bat. And anything else could come after. I mean, I wouldn't mind McGregor fighting Edson Barboza, too. That's another fight I wouldn't hate, because, you know, Edson Barboza with the kicks and everything, and he's a stand-up guy. You know, it'd be a good stylistic matchup for McGregor. Off the top, I don't know. Kevin Lee would be an interesting fight, but he's going to want to, like, roll him up on the ground and everything, and I'm not trying to see these matches where it's, like, I know how, like, I'm not for that. I want to see guys test each other with the same skills, not have it be, like, you know, the striker versus the wrestler, and, you know, we see the story end the same way every time. It's kind of, like, it gets old. So I'd rather just see, if it's going to be that, have a wrestler fight a wrestler. Like, that's why I like the concept of Tony Ferguson versus Khabib, is that they both have, you know, really good ground game. And, you know, Ferguson, I think, has a better stand-up. And, you know, he throws elbows, and he has, you know, vicious, you know, he has kicks. Like, he throws so much more, you know, on his feet, and his different, so many different weapons on his feet than Khabib does. And he has the ground game. You know, he can fight off his back. You know, he has pretty much all the skills that he needs to be great and a champion. So that's why I like that match, because they have more of the same skills, and it's not like one guy is outmatched by the other. So that one is cool if they were to make that. You know, Tony Ferguson is my guy. I still think he's the true champ, so we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, it was good. I'm glad I was able to, you know, get out of the, you know, the disrespective light and get in a more respective tone and just tell you about the way I've been analyzing the, you know, the things, you know, about that fight. And, and get things off my chest without, you know, getting out of line. And just saying that, you know, you got to realize, you know, things, you know, it's not like if I'm going to, you know, give respect to your guy's skill, you got to respect, you know, and it got to go the opposite way too. So if I'm going to say that, you know, I know, you know, you know that if it's on the ground that I can respect that, you know, y'all got that. But if it's on the feet, you know where that comes from. You know where it's at. So that it got to go both ways. Don't act like, you know what I mean. So that's one thing that just pisses me off about that. But yeah, I'm glad we was able to do this, and I'm sorry that I was late. And my bad, Lee, for getting loud.
Oh, that's all good.
I've had one too many shots of that Proper 12 whiskey today, and I'm feeling a bit energetic. So I've had at least three shots of that whiskey today. So it's pretty bomb.
I'll be getting
another bottle of that when this one runs dry. Sure.
Only thing I disagree with you on, Connor, in the same box as like Rampage. Because Rampage was the guy that only wanted to fight guys that stood that wanted to stand and bang. This is mixed martial arts. So he does, I don't really see him fighting too much longer. I don't even see him finishing this 6-fight deal because I don't think Conor needs the UFC the way the UFC needs him. So, but at the same time, is he do need to become more well-rounded. Just like Rampage. Rampage never wanted to fight guys that wrestled. He wanted to fight guys that wanted to stand in vain. And then, you know, he couldn't do that against guys that wouldn't do that. So I just want Conor to work on his game. If I had one bit of suggestion for Conor, if you want to beat anybody in AKA and Daniel Cormier's camp, you have to go and get under Winklejohn. Winklejohn fighters know how to beat AKA fighters. For some strange reason, I don't know why, but they just know how to beat him. And if he wants to fight Khabib again, he's going to need to go to Winklejohn to find out what it is that they do, where that they are so successful against AKA fighters. But I don't want to see Conor put in a box where he only fights stand-up guys. I don't want to see that. I want to see him become more well-rounded. I want to see him maximize his potential. But I don't think we're going to see that because he doesn't need the UFC. The UFC needs him. So, you know.
I want to see him get more well-rounded, too. I'm just saying that those are two fights that I would immediately want to see after this, was the Justin Gaethje fight and Dustin Poirier fight. But, yeah,
but
I want to see him work on his skills
at
the same time.
But I think he's saying that because you know he will beat them, though.
No,
I don't know about Poirier.
I
think he'll beat Gaethje. I don't know about Poirier.
That's what I said. I don't think that he would beat Poirier. I said Poirier's gotten a lot better. He's not the same fighter as when
I totally agree.
You didn't hear me say that?
My bad.
They both got a lot better. And it's at a different weight class. I think Poirier is a lot more comfortable at 155. I don't think neither one of them needed to be cutting so much weight down to featherweight. They were like looking like skeletons on that. It shows a difference. I wasn't saying that because I just think that it's those kind of matches where it just makes things that much more entertaining for fans who want to see that. And because of that, it just makes for those kind of fights. I mean, Derek Lewis and Volkov, like, they stood up that entire fight. And, you know, besides Derek Lewis being exhausted within, like, the first minute and a half of the fight, it was a really good fight. that was a good fight. Like, I feel like people
It was a good fight. And you know what? I'm going to compare that fight to the Reyes-OSP fight. Because OSP seemed like he was gassed after like 2 minutes in the first round. I was like, what the hell is going on? I mean, it was like, damn. Only the ladies, Waterson and Herrick, seemed like they cardio sustained all the way through the fight. All the guys, it was like, man, did you guys not ride the bike, go running? What, something was lacking in the build up to the fight? What happened? It seemed like everybody was gassed.
Yeah. Pettis, they lasted a little. They looked good, but I think Pettis was tired too.
He deserved to be tired because Ferguson was walking his ass down, man. Ferguson was putting so much pressure on him. I think I was tired watching it.
Ferguson was. That's the thing. You just keep hitting Ferguson. He just keeps walking towards you like a zombie. Like, you just keep hitting him, and he just, like, absorbs shots.
Like, he gets stronger and stronger.
Yeah. Like, it's like all the energy that you – like, the power you put into, like, beating the piss out of him, he just eats all of it, and he just absorbs the shots like a sponge, and he just comes back with more. Crazy. It's like his energy goes backwards in the fight. Like, he gets more alive as the fight goes on. Which is why he's such a scary opponent. Like, look at the way he looked. Like, he said that when he got rocked,
he liked it.
When he gets punched and he has blood in his teeth, like, we saw that in the fight with Pettis. Like, he had blood, like, all in his mouth, in his face. Like, these guys were covered. And he also said, yeah, in the interview, that when he got rocked, because you've seen him do the little somersault or whatever that was on the ground, when Ferguson was rocked, it looked like Pettis was about to be standing over him trying to finish him. I think he was trying to, but Ferguson evaded and just rolled out of the way, you know, to give himself those few seconds because he knew, he can't get to me in this moment. Let me keep on moving, you know, so I don't get stuck in the corner and he beats me against the cage because the ref might have stopped the fight with the way he got dropped. And it's just crazy. Ferguson just does crazy shit. Like, he's literally a ninja. He just walked toward you like a zombie. Crazy, crazy. I would like to see Ferguson versus Poirier. Ferguson versus Poirier would be a scrap, too. I would really like to see that.
We're going to see what happens, man. I think if Nate beats Poirier, then we finally going to see Nate Diaz versus Khabib, two guys that don't like each other. That really, really don't like each other outside of, you know, Khabib and Conor not liking each other. I think the UFC will make that fight, and then you'll have Dustin versus Tony. Even though if I was Tony, I wouldn't fight again until it was for the belt. But you'll probably have Dustin versus Tony, and then we'll see. I can't end this show without bringing this up today. Your boy Covey Kovacic came after Khabib, talking about Khabib being a coward and how much disgrace he brought to the UFC, la, 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 la. And then Usman responded to Kobe's tweet saying, you got all this gangster talk, but when it's time to do gangster stuff, you always hiding. So once again, Usman is calling Covington out, dog.
Well, Usman's got the Dos Anjos fight now.
Yeah, but once again, he's calling Covington out, man. And I love it. I love it. And Covington never responds. He never replies. He never says anything.
Yeah, that one, I don't know why the UFC don't try harder to make that fight. I feel like they probably offered it, and Covington probably turns down the fight over and over. Because I feel like, why would they not have offered that?
I think Kobe not going to have a – I don't think he's going to have an option. I think what's going to happen is Tyron Woodley is going to fight GSP probably next year. I think GSP is going to go back to middleweight or
really
welterweight, whatever. Yep. I think
Woodley's going to get a GSP fight?
Yep. I think Woodley is going to fight GSP. And then I think the UFC is finally going to make Covington fight Usman.
What is like the co-main event?
Yep, or on the same
that
card.
That would be that's a solid like welterweight trifecta right there. You know, four man, you know, top of the card type shit. Same structure as the 229, you know, with the lightweight. That'd be a banger. I love the welterweight division, so might as well put another welterweight fight on there. Put have Wonder Boy fight Robbie Lawler. That's a scrap right there.
That's a good fight.
Yeah, and they've been talking about doing that. You know, telling me they've been talking about booking that one a couple times now, and I think it's fell through, or they said that it wasn't true. But you know how that is. Once they offer it, the fighters will say it's not true until like it's officially confirmed, and then all of a sudden they see the poster go up, and now it's officially true. The fighters always say there's no contract until they get the official contract and then it's signed. Then they'll say that it was true all along. I think that the Robbie Lawler and Steven Wonderboy Thompson fight has been offered multiple times already. It's just such a good fight. Why would they not offer that? And those are like pretty much both the number one guys. Lawler's still like the number one or number two guy. So that's still the fight to make. They should do a triple thing. We almost just made a card in like 5 minutes. You have Woodley fight St. Pierre, have Covington fight Usman, and have Stephen Wonderboy Thompson fight Robbie Lawler. That's a three bangers right there on one card. And then the other two have Derek Lewis. Put Derek Lewis in there, and then you know get the women's going. Throw somebody in there, one of those divisions. Get the woman in there, and then that's the main card right there.
I mean, I know we'll probably do this. We're in October. We're in October, so I know probably in November, early December, we'll probably do like we did last year. We'll probably come up with a fight card that we want to see in 2019. And, you know, we'll see where both our heads at. But I really think the welterweight division needs to be highlighted in one card. You need to have Tyron Woodley fight somebody, and then you need to have the co-main event be a welterweight elimination fight. That way you bring more eyes to the division, and people become more, you know, they become more knowledgeable about the fighters in the division. You know, people like me and you, we do this show because we love the UFC. So we're a little bit more well-versed on the fighters than a normal person is. So, you know, we kind of know what's going on, but the UFC do needs to promote, you know, new blood. And I think the way you do that is by, you know, maybe you have an all welterweight pay-per-view, you know, where everybody in the main card is welterweights, you know, because it kind of makes sense. You can't do it for every fight card, but you can do it every once in a while.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. They should start doing more cards where they try to base it on an entire division, you know, at least like the main card, or have like, you know, two, you know, top 15 fights. You know, top 15 ranked guys, you know, have at least two of those on the main card, and then try to get, you know, some of the more unknown guys maybe have on the prelims and do like, you know, one, you know, have two of those of the lesser known guys that are on the come up, have them scrap it out on the prelims card, you know, in the same division, and then have two of the, you know, ranked guys, you know, no, four of the ranked guys on the main card, you know, from the same division. So I think that's just one format. They could do it many ways. But, yeah, I think that's good. The idea, have more cards to highlight an entire division. You know, the women could use a card. The women, if they did a whole card for, you know, one of these women's divisions, or just do a whole card for women's divisions in general, just do what they should do is do, you know, an interesting and intriguing fight from each division, or do, like, two you know, bantamweight fights, and then do two strawweight fights, and then do, you know, one or have one and then one of the prelims from the new division. I forget what the new division is called, but yeah, have that one. And then there you go. The featherweight is non-existent, so if I don't know how they can make him fight for them, because you got like two fighters. You can't have the same two girls keep fighting over, unless you want to have
Durandamay. Over and over and over.
Have Lee book Jermaine Durandamay.
Yeah, we know how I feel so. About that.
We still never heard from her again after that fight.
But, you know, man, you know, we sit here and, you know, it's just certain divisions that we get it that you shouldn't have. I mean, the women's division, you got to combine a 135 and 145, make it 140. And then the 115 and 125, you know, you got to make that 120. It's just common sense stuff where you make it more appealing to the fan and you have more competitive fights. Because once you see the champion fight number one person in one division, it's like, so who's she going to fight next? Where they going to import the next fighter from? You know, la, 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 la. To me, that's not good business, to make it so that we as a fan, we are more intrigued about matchups. But we'll see what happens, man. Well, bro, it's been a good evening. Go ahead and close us out and take us home, man.
Sure. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It was really good. I apologize again that I was late. Thank you, Lee, for holding it down in the meantime while I wasn't, you know, on air with y'all yet. And hope you enjoyed this show. It was actually a really interesting and it was helpful. It was a helpful show to me because there was a lot of stuff that I've been, you know, thinking about the past couple of days and just like analyzing, looking into, and I was able to break that down with somebody because I don't really have, you know, many people that are on the, you know, level as me, you know, of knowledge wise to be able to talk about these things and like really understand what I'm talking about or people that even care. So, you know, this was really helpful to me to be able to get a lot of these things off. And I appreciate anybody who has listened tonight or listened in previous shows. And, always, you know, call in 917-889-3251. You know, anything you want to talk about or even chime in on what we're talking about, you know, or whatever it may be. And with that being said, you know, everybody stay positive and, you know, don't ever give up. You can be whatever you want to be, even a UFC fighter. It's doable. And, it's not, you know, if you dream, you can dream big, but just not even about dreaming because it ain't even a dream. It's real life. It's reality. Like, you just need to accept the fact that, like, everything is in the realm of possibility. That's what it really comes down to. And I don't even fully understand that concept yet. I'm still learning about it. So I'm just trying to, you know, put other people into the beginning stages of realizing that, like, everything is up for grabs. You just need to believe in it yourself and really, you know, stick your nose to the ground, you know, 10 toes in the ground, you know, put your head down, keep, you know, stick your head up, you know, just keep on moving towards it. You know, once you keep on moving towards it, like, you will get closer. So you just have to, you know, lock your mind in on it and tell yourself, you know, this is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to get there. And you know, the more you work towards it, you will do it. And, like, I've had things where I've done that myself and just telling myself, and dedicating my mind to the future and this is what I'm going to do, X, Y, Z. I actually went and did it, X, Y, Z. And, you know, I would have added another letter, but Z is the last letter of the alphabet because I took the next step after that too. And that was just, you know, off the motivation of believing that I could do it. So the point is not about me talking about myself, but just to tell everybody to believe in yourself. Stay positive and keep grinding on whatever you're grinding on. God bless everybody. And we appreciate all you. Even if you don't listen, we still appreciate you. And Keys appreciates you because I love everybody. And that's my last words for that. And if Lee, you have last words for that, then drop those.
Like I said earlier, man, I dedicated this show to the Me Too movement. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in society today, you know, as far as sexual assault, sexual harassment, rape. If you've been a victim, tell your story. I don't care if it's been 20 years, 25 years. Tell your story. Your story might help a young lady or a young man get through what they're going through and make them come forward and get the weight of the world off their chest. So shout out to the Me Too movement. This is not a shot at, you know, Kavanaugh being appointed to the Supreme Court or our president, the one that they grab him by the, you know what. I'm just saying, tell your story. Let your story be heard. Maybe your story can inspire and help the next person out and help get them through a hard time. And with that being said, to my man Keys, thanks for another good show tonight. Keys, you might want to go back and check out my dedication at the beginning of the show. I think it was very powerful, and you like when I do stuff like that, so you'll probably appreciate that. And to our listeners, thanks once again. We love you. Till the next time, peace out. Everybody be safe.
Everybody have a good night. Thank you.
Peace.